Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, it's a crossover with Locked On Rangers. Myself and Bryce Patterick will be talking about Joey Gallo. We'll be talking about what it's like to have a team in the World Series because the Braves have not experienced this in a while. Some of their fans may not have ever experienced it, so we let people know what it's like to have a team in the World Series. Not that we've experienced it that much lately, Yankee fans, am I right? And we will talk about this year's World Series and what's happened so far.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Stacey Gonsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees, and as I said in the teaser, this is going to be a crossover episode with Bryce Patterick of Locked On Rangers. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and Locked On Rangers on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Odyssey. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. Both of our podcasts are now video, and you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees or play podcast Locked On Rangers.
And welcome in to Locked On Rangers. I am joined by a special guest, Stace Gonsoulias of Locked On Yankees. Actually pronounced your name right this time. I've been working on it. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, except for the fact that someone in the New York media is besmirching my large adult son, Joey Gallo, for how he puts on his clothes. And I went to go find the article because, you know, it's something that bothers me as a journalist. It's like when someone goes on a rant about all these people on Twitter will go off on some article and they don't read it. But I went to go do my journalistic due diligence. I went to go find the site, and it's on like newjersey.com. This guy who I've never heard of, who I've been told is kind of an a-hole, which, you know, just seeing the little excerpt that you shared on Twitter makes me realize he's kind of an a-hole. They're like, all right, you got to disable your ad blocker. I'm like, all right, I get it. So I disable it. And I start scrolling down. I get like a paragraph and like, this is a subscriber only story. Please subscribe. I'm like, I'm not going to pay you money to read you trash my son. I'm just not going to do it. That's, like, I'm sorry. It's just
that's rude. Interesting, though, because it wasn't subscriber only when I read it.
Probably because it blew up so much. They're like, yeah, we're going to get these people.
Whose fault is that?
I'm sorry, but it's yours. That's all right. But you did read the article and your tweet blew up. And Joey actually responded to your tweet. The first thing he's tweeted since he's been on the Yankees. Well, I guess technically he did tweet thank you to the Rangers fans when he was like on the Yankees. But like since then, it's been months and nothing. And you shared this excerpt, and I was wondering what it was like to, you know, wake up to, or I guess, I don't know if it was afternoon, whatever time it
was. Well,
day,
I'll tell you the story of what happened, because I was up late the other night. I wasn't feeling well. And I just, something made me want to look at the quote tweets of my tweet, because I hadn't. I got a lot of bad things sent to me on Twitter. It happens, whatever. But something was telling me to look at the quote tweets. It was 3:45 in the morning. And I click and I see someone tagged someone and I see another one. And then all of a sudden I see Joey Gallo. And at first it didn't click in my brain at first because I thought maybe it was someone who has his name as their screen name. And I thought it would, you know, and then I looked and I realized, oh my God. And I yelled at 3:45 in the morning, holy S, in my room, and then literally covered my mouth because I thought, oh my God, everyone in my house is asleep. I'm going to wake them up because Joey Gallo quote tweeted me. And at that point, I think he quote tweeted me around like 1:40 something in the morning. I've discovered it at 3:45 in the morning. And around then it had about 2,000 likes. I was like, wow, okay. Then I wake up later in the day and it's up to like 30,000 likes and people are sharing it all over the place and people are sharing my tweet and replying to me. And some people thought I was criticizing him, which I was not. I was criticizing the writer because I joked. I said, oh my God, am I going to have to rant about this article on my show now? Because I was pissed about an excerpt about Gerrit Cole and Brett Gardner to begin with. And then I read through the rest of it and saw the Gallo stuff. And I thought, what the hell is this guy writing? And that's why I tweeted it. But I feel bad because, you know, I don't want Joey Gallo to get this upset about, I mean, the New York media just has a way, you know, some of these guys do this sort of thing. And my point when I was ranting on my show the other day was that this is the last thing that Yankee fans need to fuel the fire against both Gerrit Cole and Joey Gallo now. So I just was angry that this stupid thing was even put out, but I feel bad that someone obviously tagged him, showed him my tweet, and then he quote tweeted me, and I feel bad. I don't want him to feel bad, you know?
Yeah, I know that feeling very much. Reminds me of the time that Joey interacted with my tweet, which I it was much more harmless than yours. I tweeted I was like, Joey Gallo, don't read. I forgot what Patrick Mahomes did. I think it was some playoff thing. But for those who are Yankees fans who don't know, I am like, Joey Gallo is like just the person who makes me love sports the most. And I went to Texas Tech. So Patrick Mahomes is like my other son. Like, I love them both. They're both my sons. I love them both equally. But I said, Joey Gallo, don't read this. And I put like 18 spaces and a little period in between so it wouldn't do it. And I was like, I might love Pat Mahomes more than Joey Gallo. And somebody tagged him in it. I was like, one of my friends. And I was like, why'd you do that? Like, he's not going to read this. It doesn't matter. And then he just responded. He's like, you don't mean that, ...
That's great. I love that.
I died laughing. And I sent like the Andre the Giant response. He's like holding up both his hands, like, hold on, Joey, I can explain.
Yeah.
And so he's very much online and reading a lot of things. Joey, if you're listening to this, you are perfect. Put on your clothes however you want. You are an amazing baseball player, and the guy who wrote that sucks tremendously and should be fired expeditiously.
Well, the problem with the whole article is, and we were talking about this before we started recording, the media didn't really have access to the clubhouse because of COVID restrictions. Everything was done through the Zoom room. So this obviously got leaked by someone who's been dismissed by the Yankees, because I don't think someone who currently works for the Yankees would have told Bob Clappish all of this. So it had to have been someone who was just dismissed. I don't know who it could be. Someone was speculating it could be Phil Nevin because he's really pissed. But someone also said that Nevin and Boone are really close and they don't think that Nevin would do this sort of thing. But who knows about the rest of the guys? But it had to have been someone like that to leak this stuff. Because the other story that came out was, after all the sticky stuff, like the restrictions started happening, everything, Brett Gardner took it upon himself to walk around the clubhouse with a hat on with pine tar, joking about it. And Gerrit Cole got in his face and yelled at him. And people are pissed about Gerrit Cole. How dare you do this to Brett Gardner? And that was even alluded to in the article. This is my thought. And if you've listened to Locked On Yankees this week and you're hearing me repeat this, I apologize. And if you haven't listened, listen. Gerrit Cole was the poster boy of the sticky stuff. We know other pitchers were using it, but everyone else was bringing him up. Josh Donaldson mentioned him by name and was bringing it up. And everything was like, every eye was on Gerrit Cole. And to have his own teammate do that, even if it wasn't in a malicious way. Brett Gardner is known to be a prankster. But I can see Gerrit Cole's side from this. I can see how that would upset him and get him pissed off, because he was feeling a lot of pressure when that started happening. So I'm on Gerrit Cole's side, and he apologized to Brett Gardner the next day. But the thing that annoyed me about the article, especially after the Gerrit Cole stuff, was they were talking about, could you imagine Derek Jeter or Andy Pettit or Mariano Rivera doing this to a teammate? Like, they always harken back to the dynasty. The dynasty started 25 years ago last night, okay? We are a generation away from it now. Can we stop with this nonsense? I actually like that Gerrit Cole got into Brett Gardner's face. I really do. That shows me how fiery he is. I like it. And the stuff with Gallo, we know that Gallo has, he mentioned that he has facial tics, and sure, he might have a way that he likes to put his uniform on. Why are we saying horrible things about this man and the way he does things? I don't care if he puts his uniform on backwards. If that makes him comfortable and makes him want to play baseball, let him be. Like, the whole article just really pissed me off. But, you know, a lot of neurodivergent people did not appreciate that part of the article at all. And I just, as I said, it was not subscriber only when I saw it. And it must have been changed to that, because they were getting a lot of blowback because of that article. You're welcome.
It's a good thing that like it got addressed, but like I also don't like that they're making money off of it, and it's just kind of a crappy thing to do, and it just felt like a hit piece for no reason. I looked up some other articles, like just like, oh, what's in the news about Joey Gallo, and you know, there's this article in the New York Post by Joel Sherman that's also, you know, behind a paywall. It's like exploring the Yankees' potential trade options if they end the Joey Gallo experiment. Like, what the hell are you doing, Joel Sherman? Like, get out of here. Like, oh, are they going to trade Joey right after getting him? No,
they're not.
You're so stupid.
Definitely not.
That's fine. Yeah. It's fine. We're all fine. I'm glad that someone up there, multiple someones are looking out for my large adult son, Joey. It lets me know that he is, you know, in a good place and being taken care of. But we're going to take this quick break. When we come back, we're talk a little bit about the World Series and about a Braves fan friend of mine. I don't know why that sentence was so hard to say. And remembering the anxiety and just the pure agony and joy of being a fan of a team in the World Series. But first, this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Rangers once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every single day. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You get a chance to talk with me. Be sure to join me this week on Thursday night. I'll be hosting a room then, so go download the free Green Room app. Currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link to your Twitter, join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you won't want to miss it. Follow me at Bryce Patrick to be notified when my room goes live, and I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Rangers. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Now, a lot of my friends, since I went to Alabama for 2 years, I have a lot of friends from the South. And, you know, as you know, there are not a lot of Major League Baseball teams in the South. There's basically just the Braves. So if you're in the Southeast, it's pretty much the Braves. That's about it. I mean, there's no Carolina team. I mean, technically there are teams in Florida. I think there's two of them. I'm not really sure about that. But I have been told that there are teams in Florida and that some people root for them. But there's mainly just the Braves. Like, if you're in the South, it's the Braves. And so seeing these friends who, you know, grew up Braves fans, they're all about my age. Some of them a little bit older. Some of them, like, in, like, their early 30s. And so they don't really remember. I mean, they remember, like, growing up being a kid. But it's different being a kid cheering for your team in the World Series and being, like, an adult. And I was, you know, still technically a youth when my team was in the World Series. I believe I was, let me do this math. I think I was 16 and 17, 2010, 2011. Yeah, I was 16 and 17. So, like, not quite the 8-year-old that my friend was. Not to make you feel old, but just, you know, embarrassing myself by trying to do math. But, like, you know, you're old enough at that point to, like, feel the pure agony. At this point, baseball was, like, my entire life. You know, it's a little bit less so now, but, you know, still kind of is. But you remember how miserable he's literally dying with, like, every single missed call. Like, all right, this, I'm like, oh my God, this strike. Oh, are you kidding me? Like, all caps, all, I'm like, Josh, like, you're not going to make it if you go like this. He's like, is this what it's like? I'm like, yes, buddy. It's what it's like. It's freaking miserable, but it's also amazing. And also, being a fan of any Atlanta sports team, I don't know the specific pains of that, but I was like, I can't really tell him to calm down with a 5-0 lead in the third. This is Atlanta sports. Everything is on the table, man. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. This is a specific kind of anguish that I do not know. But, like, what are some of your memories from when the Yankees were in the World Series and just how absolutely agonizing every single thing that happened was?
Well, for me, you know, I'd mentioned 25 years ago, 96, I was 22. So do the math in your head, everyone. I'm 20 years older than Bryce. And for people of my generation, the Gen Xers, the kids who were born in the mid to early 70s, who grew up loving Don Mattingly, loving Dave Winfield, and not that the 80s teams were bad, they just didn't make the playoffs. And
that means they're bad.
No, there were some times when they won 95 games, but there was no wild card to help them out like other teams.
I forgot that that was a time that was.
Yeah. You know, Atlanta was in the NL West. Milwaukee was in the American League. Yeah. Yeah. Before there was a Central, it was only East and West, and Atlanta was in the West. That's how old I am.
That's not how West works.
Exactly.
It's like the Cowboys being in the NFC East, but that's a whole.
That's a whole new show. That's a whole other show. We can talk about that too. Because anyway, so for me, I was 22 when it happened, and I was happy that I was that old when it happened because I don't remember 77 and 78. I was 3 and 4. I remember 81 though. I've listened to the game. I wasn't supposed to be. I was only in second grade, and that game 6 ended at like 11:30 at night, and I was sneaking the radio on in my room to hear the Yankees lose, and it was not pleasant. So to experience them winning in 96 was amazing. And I'd never experienced that kind of, like the year before was Seattle and watched them lose in excruciating fashion. And then for them to come back and win the World Series the next year was like, woo. Then they lost in excruciating fashion again against the Indians in 97 and then 98, 99. 2000, and I'm like, when is this going to end? And then they lost an excruciating fashion in 01. But we had that 5 years of just, you lived and died with every single pitch. And I used to joke about every October I'd get playoff zits because I was so stressed out that my face would just erupt. Literally, I'd have 7 new zits on my face as soon as the calendar turned to October. It became like a joking thing around work. They're like, oh, it's playoff time. Stacey's face is breaking out again, you know? but I always say this. I want fans of teams who haven't won in a long time to experience it. That's why I'm pulling for the Braves, along with the fact that
It's not the Astros. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. you know, because the last 2 times the Braves made the World Series, my team beat them. And, you know, someone had tweeted last night that if you had told the 96 Braves after game 2 and after they outscored the Yankees 16-1 in Yankee Stadium that they wouldn't win another World Series game for like 9,627 days, they wouldn't believe you. And that's exactly what happened. They finally won their first World Series game since 1996. So, yeah, just the living and dying with every pitch like your friend. It's true, though. You're just like, oh, you're just stressed the entire time. And when your team wins, it feels like you have, you know, a 5,000-pound weight lifted off your shoulders. When they lose, it's the worst feeling in the world. Now, for us, 2001 was doubly bad because of 9/11 and all the emotion happening behind it. That if it were just a normal World Series loss and they just happened to lose on a walk-off, I wouldn't have been as upset. But I had so much stress built up from 9/11. I cried for 4 hours after that game ended because I just felt the buildup of that entire fall hit me. And I didn't even speak until the next day about 6 o'clock at night. I was on vacation with my friend. I didn't start speaking to her until we got to DC in the car because we were down in Wilmington, North Carolina. And she knew not to talk to me because I was just a mess. So, yeah, I'm not like that now. Then again, I haven't seen the Yankees in the World Series since 2009, but I have seen them make the ALCS a few times in that time. And it's just, yeah, I mean, I try to practice Zen baseball now because I put myself through so much stress, but you can't help yourself. And when it's your first time in a long time, it's just going to be like that.
Gosh. Yeah. That's the thing that has been the most upsetting about like covering a team that like just sucks so bad for 2 years. It's like, there's none of those moments. Like there's very few moments where like anything means it's like opening day. Like you still get the jitters. Like, oh my gosh, like I know the team's going to suck, but like, what if they don't? What if they're great? What if they're even mediocre? I'd be okay with that. And then it's like, ah, okay. It's May. Yeah. This team sucks. And then, you know, the July hits, like the only like stress was like, oh my God, are they going to keep Joey Gallo? And there wasn't really as much stress for me in that it was just deep, deep denial. Until it happened. And, you know, still at this moment, still some deep, deep denial pretending that it didn't happen because we're talking about why is the New York media criticizing Texas Ranger Joey Gallo? It just seems kind of rude. but it's fine. We're fine. I missed that. I know eventually the Rangers will get back to it. I trust this front office to eventually get there, but it's going to be a hot minute. And boy, am I going to freak the heck out when it actually does happen. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what's happening in this World Series and why game one brought me so much personal joy.
Well, you know what else brings, well, do you know what brings me joy?
What does bring you joy?
Built Bars.
Same.
I'm not kidding. Everyone out there, did you know that Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever? We're not kidding. And it has, they have so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone. And if you don't know the flavors, you're missing out. There's coconut, cherry Barcia, which is Jason Burke's favorite, raspberry, mint brownie. Bryce and I like mint brownie, double mm-hmm. chocolate, salted caramel. I think Sully likes the raspberry, if I'm not mistaken. Strawberry, orange. Yeah.
They're all solid.
Mm-hmm. Cookies and cream, German chocolate. Now, if you haven't tried all the flavors, I suggest get a mixed box, try them out, have your family try them out, because I had my mom try them out, and now she really likes mint brownie as much as I do, and then just buy whatever flavor you like. They're high in protein, low in calorie, low in sugar. They're tasty, and they're healthy, and just you need to get them. Go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15. I tried it. It actually works, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, mixed box. Mwah. Get it. Try everything out. I will not steer you wrong. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. You know what else is cool?
What else is cool? I really don't know what's cool, but
betting on sports is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Especially if you know what you're doing. And if you go to Bet Online, they're back and they're better than ever with a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Now, let's get into this game one of the World Series of my poor friend Josh living and dying. A 5-0 lead in the top of the third. I really did feel for him. But also, I was like, all right, dude. Like, all right. And he's going to be like, I love Josh, but like, this is going to be a lot. And I want to be a good friend and be here for him because I know what it's like. But this was a wild game. I mean, the first ever leadoff home run to start a World Series by Jorge Soler.
Yeah.
Heading your DH, you know, lead off is pretty interesting. Also Ozzy Albies, shout out to Ozzy Albies, thank you for the free taco. Always appreciate that. Literally, yeah. Like the first inning, I'm like, all right, getting it out of the way fast. Like it always happens. Like there's always one. I think last year it took till like game five or something, Mookie Betts finally stole a base.
Oh, right.
I was like mm-hmm. Are we not getting the free taco? Are they not going to give it to us? This is our right as Americans, is for free tacos because we watch baseball games. And then Austin Riley doubled them in, 2-0 lead. And then just kind of a weird fielder's choice. I love watching pitchers awkwardly try and field balls. John Smoltz talking about how, because Shohei Ohtani is an athlete, then every pitcher is an athlete. Shut up, John Smoltz. No, they are not. Nobody is Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani does not make the case for anyone other than alien beings that were, you know, created in a lab to be amazing at everything baseball.
You know like who was a good fielding pitcher and people who? Don't realize it? Mike Mussina.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was actually really good. It's probably because he threw that knuckle curve and it didn't go fast, so he could feel better. You know, it wasn't like he was throwing 100 miles an hour.
It's like, all right, like I throw it and all right, get into my stance, like then I'm ready. Like, all
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That would make it a lot easier.
That was a really funny play, though. What's his face? Oh, was it Stanek? Who was it?
I think it was Ryan Stanek.
Yeah, he looked like he was trying to do the worm.
Literally just like puppy dog, like pounced on him, like a little dog, like chasing a little bouncing tennis ball, just whoop, and just like missed it, like couldn't really feel it. Quickly.
Well, it was funny in my show yesterday. I was talking about, I picked the Braves in six. I don't know. I just feel like they're every year there's a team that you feel like it's their year. I felt that way with the Nats once they made it past the first round. I'm like, yeah. Something about this team. I don't know. And I feel like everything that's happening to them, every setback that they have, it doesn't matter. And they just keep going. And it just feels that way. And I forgot to mention on my show yesterday that the key for them in last night's game was to score first. And then when I saw Soler, I was like, there you go.
There's the key.
There you go.
You got out homer teams and you got to score mm-hmm. first. And
they did that. And Framber Valdez looked about as bad as I'd seen him all year. Like, he is really good at, like, commanding the low strike zone. He was getting a lot of calls that he probably shouldn't have. So he probably should have gotten beat up a little bit more. And to be fair, yeah, a lot of those calls were going the Astros' way, specifically Framber Valdez. But he still didn't make it out of the third inning. Two home runs in two innings, five runs. Like, that was not what he looked like. I mean, he just absolutely dominated the Red Sox. A really strong lineup with a lot of right-handers in there. And this lineup is really good, too. I feel more confident in, like, the depth of the Red Sox lineup. But they kind of fell flat and were outside of Kike Hernandez and Rafael Devers. Like, they didn't really do that much. But this whole lineup is everyone's kind of – they have their little – you know, their moments. I mean, Jock Peterson is, you know, a postseason legend. Eddie Rosario is on, like, the streak of his freaking lifetime.
Of anyone's Ozzie lifetime. Ozzie
Albies is really good. Of anyone's, like, that NLCS he put up was absolutely outstanding. Freddie Freeman figured it out after a really tough start to it. Ozzie Albies, obviously, really stinking good. So, like, I trust this lineup a whole lot more than I trusted the Red Sox lineup, at least when it came to the end of it. I mean, this is still a very deep, very talented Astros lineup, as much as I hate them. but also, the injury that could change this whole series is Charlie Morton broke his leg. Is that what I'm reading? His tibia?
Tibia. Yeah, that's the front bone on your leg, the flat one.
And he was pitching through it, wasn't he, after it happened? That's absolutely bonkers.
I think he pitched to three guys on it.
That's, like, the most insane thing I've ever heard. Like, if my leg was broken, I could not, like, breathe until.
I can't even function when I break a nail. I don't understand how this man threw to three different batters on a broken leg. Like, granted, he didn't know it was broken, but I've broken bones before and you feel it, even if it's just a fracture. There's a burn there and it's different than a strain. It's different than a twist. It's different than a pull. And it just gets hotter and hotter. And you're just like, oh my God, the pain's not going away. This is really bad. I saw Andy Pettit get hit with a line drive by Casey Koshman the year that he came back. You know, he was gone in 2011, then he came back in 2012, and it took him a little time to get warmed up. June 27th, 2012, gets nailed almost in the same spot as Charlie Morton. And they take him off, and I'm like, oh, that didn't look good. And I'm at the stadium on Twitter. This is OG Twitter, so 2012. It wasn't the cesspool that it is now.
The good days.
Yeah, and I was...
Don't worry, I was on Twitter back then.
Yeah, and I was refreshing the beat writers, and I see broken leg and I scream the F word and my whole section turns and looks at me and I said, Pettit's leg is broken. Then everyone else starts screaming the F word. Like, oh, no, no. Because the same day, I think CC Sabathia was also hurt, which was why Pettit was pit. It was like a weird, you know, combo of bad things, but I'd never seen anyone get hit with a comebacker like that and break their leg. I saw Mark Teixeira break his leg unknowingly. He fouled off a pitch in 2016 on his leg, or was it 2015 or 2016? And yeah, broke his leg. I was like, what is this? Why am I coming to these games if these guys are going to keep breaking their legs? But yeah, that's a big blow. But as I said earlier, it feels like no matter what happens with these guys, I mean, they shouldn't even be in the World Series considering all the guys that they lost in the regular season and they just kept getting better. So
you lose
again,
a guy like Ronald Acuna Jr. and you bounce back and you win your division. Also, like, I love
Soraka, right? And yep. Who else? What's his name? VOGT. How do you say that? Steven, right? Vote. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Vogata.
Yeah, they lost him. They're all at the World Series, by the way, because Snitker thought they should experience everything. So all the hurt guys are with them.
That's great. Like, for Ronald Acuña Jr., like, I feel so bad because, like, he is such a generational talent, and, like, him not being able to be in this, like, just sucks. Also, I made a mistake. I forgot. I swapped up my different lefties of the Braves bullpen. I thought there was one guy. I was like, there's an Aggie in there. Not that I have particular fondness for the Aggies. I actually have some severe dislike for him. But another a Texas kid, AJ Minter from Tyler, pitched A&M. And he did fairly well in this one. And a big spot, too, going 2 2/3 innings, only allowing one run and striking out three. Just coming in to basically need to eat a whole lot of innings because Charlie Morton just broke his freaking leg in the third inning. So, yeah, you're going to need some help out of there. But it's just wild seeing all these starting pitchers go, like, shorter and shorter. I mean, obviously, you break your leg, you come out of the game. Like, that's not a, like,
yeah, but even
all
guys who weren't breaking
things,
their legs were only, like, pitching barely four innings the whole playoffs. The playoffs are slow, right? They're slow. There's too many pitching changes. The umpires are all horrible. You had mentioned how the Astros were helped by some calls, but let me pull this up so we can tell everyone about this because it's just, it's horrible. So there's an account on Twitter called Umpire Auditor, and they go through everything. So his correct call percentage was 92.7, which isn't great, but it isn't as bad as some other umpires. Total misses 11, calls helping the Astros 10, and the Astros still couldn't do anything with 10 calls going their way. And not only this, out of the entire World Series umpiring crew, Chris Conroy was in the top 25 in ball strike accuracy in 2021. He ranked 16th. He was the guy last night who had 11 missed calls. So the rest of the games, however long this series lasts, you're going to see worse umpires behind the plate. So good job, MLB.
I don't get it. Makes me so mad. It's just indicative of like everything that's wrong with baseball. It's like, I don't know. Let's just give it to guys who have been here the longest. Aren't the guys who have been here the longest usually ones who suck the most? Yeah, but who cares? It's not like this is the biggest game, the biggest stage, the biggest audience. Like, let the umpires suck. Whatever. It's just like,
I say it all the time. I don't understand how Angel Hernandez is allowed near any kind of big series after what he did in the 2018 division series. They had to review like 5 of his calls at first base and 3 of them were reversed. I mean, it was just, I get it. They have a union that can't really fire him and they can't really do things, especially Angel Hernandez. He likes to sue them for discrimination, which in some cases it is discrimination, but he's awful. He's awful. And that has nothing to do with anything about him. Joe West is awful.
If they just did a better job of like, you know, promoting diversity within the umpiring crew, then it'd be like, no, we're not, you know, banishing you because you're, you know, a minority. I mean, because you're terrible at your job. Like, yeah, there's a difference. And yes, like, that's why diversity is so important. So you can tell people who suck at their jobs that they suck at their job. I mean, that's not why diversity is important, but it is one small minor issue that, you know, would fix this one specific thing with just Angel Hernandez.
Yeah. And there was someone else had put a chart out and it was basically Conroy was the highest ranked throughout the playoffs, and everyone else who was assigned a playoff on the playoff crew were some of the, like Ron Culpa was like, oh, I think he was ranked like 86
or something crazy like that. He needs to change his first name to Mia. His name is just Mia Culpa.
You don't want to see these guys behind the plate. I don't understand what they're doing. I understood the Joe West thing because he's retiring. Thank you.
Thank God. But,
oh,
retiring, I mean, to go make time. Some more cowboy country Joe West.
My dad wanted him to retire years ago. My dad's been gone 7 years. He's like, why isn't Joe West retiring? Can this guy just go away already? So my dad would be happy to know that Joe West is finally leaving us.
Oh, God. Thank God. You know, just get more of these guys out. Just, there's so many umpires that I'm like, I don't know who they are. And I don't think about them. Those are the good ones. That's the whole point. It's not, there's a reason it's called an ump show. It's because usually umpires are the worst in like any major sport. I don't know. There are some pretty bad basketball referees.
Oh, yeah.
But like football, I mean, there's just like, the buff ref, like at hockey league. Just like the only reason takes attention is because like he's really strong,
right? Then, but like, yeah, no, there are so many umpires when you look through the crew and you're just like, when you know the guys' names and you can think of specific bad calls they've made, it's not good.
If you know their names, that's one strike. If you know something they did, that's two strikes, and two strikes and you're out because they're bad umpires. They don't know how many strikes they're supposed to call.
Yeah, but I don't know. What's your prediction for the World Series, by the way? Because I said Braves in 6, but
I picked the same thing. It's gonna be, I'm sorry, I felt mean to say that, like making him wait 6. I feel pretty good about it. I feel like there's definitely gonna be some drama. There's definitely gonna be some, like, these are pretty evenly matched teams, but I feel the same thing about Atlanta.
See, that's
Atlanta.
The thing. They are evenly matched because Atlanta kind of started off slow, but really picked up, especially after the trade deadline into August, into September, when the Mets fell off and then they took over the NL East. And even though they only finished with, what was it, 88 wins? They were below 90, right? They were somewhere around there. Because
I think 88, maybe 86.
Like, yeah, it I was joking not a about yeah, how they would be 5th in the AL East because all the teams in the AL East finished with better, except for Baltimore, obviously, because Baltimore was terrible. But the Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox, and Tampa all finished with over 90 wins. So I don't know. I feel like they're way more evenly matched now because of the way they picked things up after the trade deadline and after they got certain people. But again, losing Acuña Jr., losing Soraka, losing I just don't understand how this team is doing it. But again, they might be the team of destiny this year. So, and there's always one, and I'm glad it's hopefully not the Astros.
Yeah, hopefully not. But one thing specifically that I'm really looking forward to for this series is because I believe it's going to be the final games of Major League Baseball without a DH. Oh, God, I'm so happy.
Hallelujah. Granted,
there is an like almost certain work stoppage coming at the beginning of December, which is going to suck. And I swear, if this is like, if we have to go a whole year, like if we have a year-long strike again, and like this is the last year that I had, and if by some horrible thing the Astros win, the Raiders were horrible, they traded my favorite player, and then the Astros win the World Series, like it will make me seriously consider giving up on baseball. I mean, I have a very abusive relationship with baseball. It's hurt me very many times, and there have been a lot fewer times where it's brought me joy. And I'm probably never going to leave because I have Stockholm syndrome with baseball. But like, I'm going to really think about it. I'm going to really think about it. Give it some peace of my mind. But like,
yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely going to be a work stoppage. I'm afraid of how long it's going to last, especially because of what happened with 2020 and them. I mean, that was pretty contentious. So, you know, when I had David Cohen on the show, he's very into, you know, he was part of the union reps and he's into all that stuff, and even back in April he's like, oh yeah, expect it. It doesn't look good. He's like, you know, the CBA is ending, and yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to be agreeing on a lot, so there's probably going to be a work stoppage. And yeah
that's like the of all the many red flags with baseball, like a work stoppage is just the biggest sign that your sport is not functioning, that like you just have a terrible commissioner and the league just doesn't know what it's doing. Like the best leagues, like when was the last time the NFL had a work stoppage? Have they even had one? Like, I can't remember one. I mean,
and what about the teams who are purposely not spending money and mm-hmm. purposely tanking to try and get better? These billionaires who are like hoarding their money because they don't want to spend money on their teams. And these poor fan bases are going through, you know, decades long droughts because their owners are too, I don't want to say stupid, but they're too
stingy.
That's it, with their money, and think that everyone's the Rays. Not everyone is the Rays. The Pirates are not the Rays. Stop pretending that you are. And even richer teams are starting to be like, oh, maybe we can do what the Rays are doing. No, spend your money. You like have
Yankees,
money.
Like, oh, I don't know if we want to get Joey Gallo. Can you pay the rest of his $7 million? We have to pay a luxury tax. You're the freaking Yankees. You have more money than God. Spend it.
Right.
Spend it, please. The only team, like the only reason that I even slightly pull for the Dodgers, aside from all the, you know, shady characters that they've brought in there, is that they spend their money. They spend their prospects. They go and they develop things. They're like, if the Rays actually spent money, I think the problem with baseball isn't as much the teams that are in the dumpster. Like a lot of those teams, they're just like, all right, like we're gonna have our period of suck and then like come out of it. It's the teams like Cleveland is the one that's the biggest culprit for me, is they do a really good, they're like almost the Rays, like, but they're not quite. They do a really good job of developing these players. And the second they want money, oh, Francisco Lindor, this guy who is this generational talent, this very marketable star, very fun, very exciting personality. Oh, he even took us to a World Series. Yeah, you're gone. You're gone for basically changing the dollar. Also, we're going to throw in a pretty decent quality starting pitcher just to get rid of you as well. And they're probably going to do the exact same thing with their third baseman, either this offseason or, you know, next summer, because they don't really care about winning.
Right.
Also, they're getting sued by a roller derby team. That's just absolutely hilarious.
God, that's so funny. Well, the thing with the Rays, when was this? The end of August, I want to say. One of the beat writers was saying, you know, the Rays take infield practice every day. You don't see other teams doing this. And I joked about it. And then we got into a discussion. But of course they're taking infield practice and practicing. None of these guys are going to be Rays in a couple of years because they're going to trade them away. They're not going to pay them. So they have to be really good on the Rays so they can go to another team and get paid. That's why they're doing this.
That's why all of them do it. I mean, the only one who they had that they actually paid was Evan Longoria, and they ended up trading him too. And it's like, also, it's absolutely beyond ludicrous that he like somehow had a like career resurgence year and sort of like every Giant. Like, that makes no sense to me. And like, I feel bad for the Giants fans being angry about how disrespected they were this year. But also, like, can you blame us? Like, right. Everybody on your team was, like, in their mid-30s, just, like, suddenly out of nowhere having an OPS, like, 200 points higher than it was, like, the last 2 years.
Also, and then coming out of nowhere and winning 100. No one saw that coming.
Also, your
everyone
pitchers,
expected...
like, are all guys who are taken off the scrap heap and, like, somehow turned into being amazing. And
yeah,
also, was it Logan Webb? Logan Webb comes out of nowhere. Is he actually Brandon Webb's brother? Because I'm assuming that he is. He might not be. Maybe a cousin. I honestly thought it was Brandon Webb. I'm like, wait, Brandon Webb's old. He's retired, isn't he? And I'm like, no, this is a child. This is a small baby boy. And he is doing these amazing things. Like, what the heck is going on? So
yeah, it was a strange year. Like, I don't know. I sort of thought maybe the Giants, once they got past a certain point, I was like, okay, they're for real. Cause at first it seemed like they were fluky and it was like, okay, they can't sustain this. And then once it became July, I was like, okay, maybe they can sustain this. I'm like, wow. Okay. And I don't know. I felt like they had a really good chance of beating the Dodgers in the division series. And that was a bad thing for Major League Baseball to have that be the matchup in a division series instead of being like, yeah.
Like, I feel like something about the postseason that I really loved last year. I mean, Ezra is a person who had a team that was terrible, very terrible. But, you know, it's harder to watch the playoffs after your team, which is good, gets eliminated for me than it is if your team was, like, never in it and just sucked. Like, last year and this year, I have watched every single postseason game that I possibly can. Last year, it was amazing having that much playoff baseball. Obviously, kind of degrades, like, you know, the importance of the regular season. But, like, I feel like there's some balance. And it's hard because baseball is such about the long game. And it's so, like, there is a reason, there's a good reason that, like, it was only the World Series for the longest time. Just, like, you're the best team. And you're the best team, like, you get a 7-game series because there's a lot more fluky crap that can happen. Like, I don't know, the wild card Giants somehow becoming the hottest team in baseball. All these, like, bats who suck, you know, in their even years, just, like, suddenly catching fire. Like, 2010 had a horrible offense, and somehow everyone just got hot at the right time and they won a World Series because they had some great pitching. Same, it felt like the same thing for, like, 2012 and 2014 as well.
Yep.
But, like, I want to have more playoff baseball than we have right now. Like, maybe the wild card is a 3-game series.
Maybe they shorten the regular season.
Maybe that.
Maybe go back to 154. 154 isn't bad.
I'd be okay with that.
It's not like we're asking you to shorten it to 112. Just take away, you know, 8 games. It's not a big deal because then, like, adding the wild card round, it kind of evens out in a way, sort of.
You also have that historical, like, context of, like, for however many years it was 154 games until... was it the 60s when they moved to 162?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Babe Ruth era, all the, you know, old timey whatevers, like, go back to your roots. And I don't know. I don't know how they fixed the pace of play. I really don't mind it so much. Like, I really don't.
I don't know. But last, like, night's game felt like it was forever.
It did. And I feel sorry for those Braves fans who had to suffer through it for the entire time. I do not feel sorry for the Astros fans who had to suffer through it the entire time. They deserve all the suffering that they can possibly imagine.
Oh, yeah. Did you? When Fox was showing all the downtrodden Astros fans looking really sad when it was like 5-1 at that point. And I even joked on Twitter, I'm like, am I supposed to feel bad for these people? Because I don't.
I was literally just cracking, like, Houston jokes the entire time. I was also watching the Mavs beat the Houston Rockets. So I was just like, just enjoying, like, oh, look at all this Houston sadness. Oh, look at that. Mavs won, destroyed them. Oh no, how embarrassing. Houston Astros lost in the World Series. How embarrassing. Like, if they keep this up, they're going to have more World Series losses than the Rangers. So, that'll be just extra sweet.
So quickly, before we go tonight, Fried against Urquidy. Is that how you say his name?
Urquidy.
Urquidy. Mm-hmm. What's your prediction? I'm thinking Braves.
I'm thinking Braves too. I think game three at home, I think that's the one they drop. I think the game three when they first come back to Atlanta.
And you know that's really that's gonna conjure up bad memories of 96.
I don't want to wish. This is such a mean thing to wish. It's not a wish, it's a prediction. It's not one that I feel good about. Josh, if you're watching this, I'm sorry. I just think it's what's gonna happen. It's also probably what they think it's gonna happen because they are more tortured than I am. they're like, oh, no, we're gonna get 3-0, and then they're gonna 4-0 us, and it's gonna be awful. Like, no, I don't think that's gonna happen. I do think the Braves are gonna win, but I think it's gonna be close, and I think it's gonna be painful, but it's gonna feel that much better once you actually do win it. I assume. I still don't know what winning a World Series feels like. I'm going to weep big real baby tears, whatever it does, if ever it does happen in my lifetime, the Rangers win a World Series. I think that, are they the only team that hasn't won a World Series? There might be.
No, Seattle hasn't even made a World Series.
Oh, that's going to change soon. That's going to change real soon. That team is scary good and scary young, and I want them to go spend a bunch of money this offseason, and especially on some, well, there's not really a whole lot of pitchers for them to go choose from, but like Like, that's why I'm, all the people are like, oh, why don't you just, like, pull out, like, the Rangers go spend a whole bunch of money now, and, like, next year or whatever, or, like, 2 years, then the AL West will be theirs to claim. And I'm like, no, it's Seattle's. Everyone knows it's Seattle for the next, like, 5 years. And so they're going to be battling with the Astros next year, who are probably still going to be okay, even after they lose Carlos Correa, and after they lose Zach Greinke, and, you know.
I can't believe Zach Greinke is still pitching. I saw him in 2005, Jason Giambi had a two-run home run, 7 RBI game against the Royals, and Zach Greinke was the starter. Baby Zach Greinke was the starter.
Oh, little baby Zach Greinke. Gosh. Yeah.
August 28th, 2005. I remember the day. It was a Sunday. It was 2 days after my birthday, and I went on my birthday, and Giambi didn't really do much, and then I went 2 days after my birthday, and he hit 2 home runs for me.
That's very sweet of him. Yeah,
no, mm-hmm. It's very nice.
It always upset me that Greinke ended up on the Astros, because, you know, I have a lot of love for Zach Greinke, and my former co-host Morgan Price absolutely adores Zach Greinke. She just loves him so much, and she was very, very upset when he got traded to the Astros. But just such a quirky guy, such a like different, like there haven't been like that many just finesse, perfect command kind of guys like him in this era. I mean, there have been baseball history, but this is more the like, all right, just air it out, throw 99 with crazy amount of spin and some wicked disgusting off-speed stuff. And Greinke's like, I know exactly where I'm gonna put it, I know exactly where you want me to put it, I know where you think I think I'm gonna put it, but I'm gonna just psych you out and be really stinking good. And that is really fun to watch. And watching him like in his prime with the Dodgers, and even I didn't really watch him that much in Kansas City, but like when he was really at his peak, and it was like him and Kershaw, and I was like, how did those teams never win a World Series? That's absolutely bonkers to me. But, you know, at least they got their World Series. Clayton Kershaw got his World Series, which for me personally, he is like, he's not my son because he's older than me, but like, he's like my, I guess he's my dad.
Does that mean everyone in baseball is my son because I'm older than everyone, including managers? You know, Aaron Boone's a year older than me, thank God, but everyone else is younger than me.
Maybe that's why they need to keep him around, so that they don't have a higher manager that's younger than you. I feel bad. Is Chris Woodward younger than you?
I think he is. I think he's my brother. I think he might be my brother's age. I think so. Wait, hold on. I'm going to double check this, but I'm pretty sure.
He looks really young. I think he's like 40, like early 40s. But he might be late 30s. He looks really young, even though
he's 2 years older than my brother. He's 2 years younger than me and 2 years older than my brother. Okay. I don't feel that bad about that, because, you know, when people are hiring like 33-year-old managers, I'm just like, are you serious right now? Like, come on. Like, well, now even my brother is starting to do that, where my brother used to make fun of me. Oh, this one's younger than you. And now it's getting to him too, because he's 43 and he's like,
they're all younger than you, buddy.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, this has been an absolute delight. I know you, like me, will enjoy every single Astros loss. You know, we only have at most 3 left this season, so we got to savor every single one of those. Where can the fine folks of Locked On, listening to or watching Locked On Rangers, find your work?
Well, you can find me at Locked On Yankees, and I don't only just talk about the Yankees, but mostly about the Yankees. And right now, that's it. That's all I'm doing. I was going to try and get back into baseball writing maybe this winter, but if there's a work stoppage, there's not going to be a lot to write about. So we'll see what happens.
Well, thanks, folks on Locked On Yankees. You can find me, if you're watching this, on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. I'm very bad at pointing. Just follow at Locked On Rangers. if you're curious, if the at Locked On Rangers is the hockey one, sure, go with that. Watch and listen to my show anyway, and then also you can find the other Locked On Rangers because you are New York sports fans. And I think we did talk about this, but it is Yankees and Rangers; those do go together, right? Of the
usually, you know,
okay,
usually yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad I got my New York geography right, as the Southern Texan I am. But this has been an absolute blast. Can't wait to watch. Hopefully the Astros lose more and maybe laugh a little bit at my friend's pain, but still enjoy it if the Braves do win, because I want them to make us both look smart. And more importantly, I want the Astros to lose.
So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB Prospects. Now you can make your second listen of the day Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Aram Layton is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available on all platforms. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Wednesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.